This is the new home for Cheryl Fritz, 1320 WILS, the only Lansing radio station live in Lansing every morning, live in Lansing every afternoon. Welcome to Fritz and Friends with your host, Cheryl Fritz.
And welcome back to Fritz and Friends. I'm Cheryl Fritz, along with producer Mark Price, coming to you on 1320 WILS and streaming live on 1320WILS.com. Going out on the phone now to Ari Adler, who is spokesman for House Speaker Jace Bolger. Good evening, Ari. How are you?
Good evening, Cheryl. I'm doing well.
Good. It's been an interesting few weeks, as a matter of fact. The budget that the House approved last night is causing a lot of controversy. I heard some remarks. From the House Speaker today, difficult decisions.
It is difficult decisions. All of the things we've been doing this week, as you look at the omnibus budget that we did earlier in the week for all of state government, and then last night we took a vote and passed the education omnibus, which is the K-12 higher ed and community colleges. And as the Speaker said, it is never easy to contain spending. I mean, the jobs that the legislators have are always easier when there is money to spend. It's when you don't have that money available anymore, you have to make some of those tough cuts that it becomes a very difficult decision to make, and it's something that's very difficult to do. But, you started off with this has been a very busy time here lately, and when you look at what we've done recently, just in the past few months, the first few months of session here, we have taken care of a structural deficit that has been in place for probably a decade and that people have not been taking care of. And so that makes it even harder. It's a situation where, yes, we have a large deficit. It's not as bad as some states, believe it or not. The difficulty has been in that no one's been willing to finally say enough is enough and let's find a way to stop it.
Would it be correct to say that obviously the idea here is they're painful cuts now, but they're looking to the future?
Well, certainly. And, I mentioned that we have a structurally balanced budget. That's what came out of the House, and we're very proud of that. The House Republican Caucus worked very diligently to come up with a budget that doesn't use one-time money. It doesn't have gimmicks where you're moving money around and make it look like there's coverage of different debt that we have. This is a structurally balanced budget. And what's even more important is we can now look ahead to 2013 and see that budget is going to be balanced as well. That's something that the governor proposed and his budget director, John Nixon, proposed from the beginning. And it hasn't really gotten talked about a lot, not a lot of media coverage on that yet. Not only are we balancing this year's budget, but we're feeling pretty comfortable that next year is already in good shape. And that certainly hasn't been heard of in quite a long time in Michigan.
Well, absolutely not. Now, why the hue and cry? If it's clear for you, for the Republicans and the House Speaker to see where this is going, why the hue and cry from the other side? Why are they? I mean, we're hearing quotes like, "This is my darkest time. This is the darkest time I can remember as being a representative."
Well, as we said, I mean, change is always difficult, and when you have a situation with government spending, people tend to get very comfortable with that. They're used to having the money there. And when the money is no longer available and they have to make some difficult decisions about where to cut and where to change your spending, it's not an easy thing. And it's not anything I think that, well, I said, House Republicans can be proud that we put together a budget that's balanced. It's certainly not something that we're excited about in terms of having to make some of these difficult cuts, but they are necessary. And if you don't do that, we're just perpetuating the problem, and we're going to end up in a situation where we're continuing to push this debt off onto our kids and our grandkids, and that's certainly not something that we should be doing.
Do the education cuts put our schools in jeopardy?
No, we think that if we are able to work with schools, and we have some plans that you'll be hearing about in the next few weeks where we plan on working with schools and helping them deal with expenses. We are always talking about revenue for schools, and we need to start looking at the expense side of the ledger as well and seeing what tools we can give them to help get some of that spending under control. Give the superintendent some tools they need when they're negotiating with the teachers' unions and others to try to help them facilitate a better deal, quite honestly, for the taxpayers who are funding these bills. We are still in a situation where even with the reduction that we put in last night, which we were able to keep it down to 3.5% per pupil reduction, but we still have schools that are well-funded, and teachers that are well-paid when you compare them with other states. So we're doing fine with that. It's a matter of how is that money being spent. We looked at some numbers last night, and we figured out that even with the reduction, it's still more than $7,300 on average statewide per pupil for these classrooms. And that is the state spending only. There is also federal money that comes in, which can often add up to, you know, $2,000 or $3,000 more per pupil. So there is money there. We just have to figure out how we're investing it.
Well, and the cuts to higher education as well, is, you know, again, if the money was there, it would be wonderful. But there are a lot of folks very concerned about those cuts as well and what it'll do to tuition.
Well, there is, but in the House budget, I think it's important to note that we kept a tuition restraint language in that budget. So if they, you know, there are cuts to universities that can then be reduced if they retain or if they maintain their tuition level and don't raise it too much. So that's important language in there as well. And that's really, there's an incentive there to try to get them to restrain themselves and not push that tuition higher and higher. But, you know, this also turns to what we're talking about here with these omnibus budgets that we did. The first one with all of state government, and the second one is the education omnibus, because we're required by the Constitution to keep school aid separate in its own bill. But by putting the K-12, the community colleges, and the higher ed budgets all together, we still have that opportunity to look at the big picture in terms of education spending and the taxpayers' investment in education. The governor has talked about we need to start looking at education from preschool all the way through age 20, you know, going through college. And we believe that there is some strength in doing that and really being able to, again, have that sort of dashboard in front of you on education spending and see where you're investing the money and where it is being used best.
As these budgets move forward, I was just talking with John Truscott, and he was talking about the May 16th conference and the possibility of there being $500 million that some of which can be, you know, put back into some of these programs. Is that something you're looking towards?
Well, we are interested in hearing what that number is actually going to be. I mean,
sure.
we have heard $500 million. We've heard quite a range of numbers being thrown around, and we've been cautioning everyone, you know, don't spend that money because we don't know that it's going to be there. And even if it is there, we have made some cuts that are going to lead to some great reforms and get reform in government spending and being able to get Michigan more competitive for job providers. So we don't want to just turn around and start spending money because we have it. I mean, there is a thought of, you know, are there different ways we could pay down some debt, or is there possibility of saving some of that money? We always encourage people, you know, save money for the future. The state should be doing that as well. You don't want to, because really we would look at that in many ways as sort of one-time money. You always have to be careful with that. I was chatting with John Nixon, the state budget director, last night on the House floor when he was there, and he brought up a story from Arizona that I wasn't aware of, where they have sold many of their state buildings, including the state capitol. They essentially bundled it together, sold it off to an investment group, and are now leasing it back from them. And what that means for Arizona is they suddenly had $1 billion to help fill a budget hole. You can only sell the state capitol once, and personally, I think that's just a horrible idea.
Yeah, I'm stunned.
But that is just one of those things where we just cannot go down that road. We have to finally get things under control.
Well, and I'm wondering the reaction to folks with the provision that was added by Representative Dave Ajima, said universities that allow benefits for same-sex partners and unmarried opposite sex partners go against the state constitution. What is the reaction you hear about that?
Well, this is the similar issue that we were dealing with, and you and I have chatted about several times with state employees and when the Civil Service Commission did an end run around the Constitution and what the voters asked for and decided to open things up to all unmarried couples.
Mm-hmm.
And their dependents, actually. And so we saw this starting to happen with the universities. They obviously are receiving taxpayer dollars. Representative Ajima felt that that was also violating what the Constitution was calling for. And so we went ahead and added this amendment to the bill that essentially it reduces funding to universities by another 5%. But as long as they certify by December 1st of this year that they are not providing these benefits to unmarried couples, that they can get that 5% right back. And there are a number of universities that are providing benefits, and many of them are not. So, you know, that'll all get worked out as they certify that action.
Well, Ari, as always, I appreciate your knowledge and perspective here on the show for myself and for my listeners. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Cheryl. Appreciate it.
Thank
Have a good night.
You. You too. Ari Adler, who is spokesman for House Speaker Jace Bolger. We'll be back with more Fritz and Friends after this.